not doing anything but taking a nap, and then just some like maintenance stuff for work and school after.
I got 1% on my phone, but let's go through all the stuff that I've been sending you over the past couple of days. The Philadelphia Flyers, sure. Okay, wait. Welcome back to another episode of the Good Hockey Podcast, brought to you by PuckCollections.ca, where if you use the code DAD, you will get free shipping anywhere in North America, and your daddy will love you because you got him a cool t-shirt.
So beautiful.
You could also call me Tommy.
And
are you working on some still?
Yeah. You can just call me Uncle.
Uncle Shooter. Uncle Shooter.
Uncle Shooter.
Okay, come on.
I was good, bro.
Come on. Nah, man, come on. And that was Charlie's impersonation of our Uncle Shooter. Okay, Charlie.
That's right.
You really wanted to push for this when we were doing our top 10 Stanley Cup power rankings to start before the season started.
Fuck off.
You really wanted the Philadelphia Flyers in that top 10, and I conceded you said, fuck it, whatever. And now the Philadelphia Flyers have been eliminated from playoff contention after trading their captain. How are you feeling about that
player.
Take, Charles? Feeling...
I'm feeling pretty rough about that take. They're currently last in the Metro, third last in the Eastern Conference, and they are ranked 28th overall in the entire NHL. I expected a lot more from this team. I mean, they added Ryan Ellis, who I thought was going to be a huge piece to their defensive line, and he played like four games the whole season before going down with a couple injuries. I think he has like 7 points in those four games, though. Rasmus Ristolainen has been a huge disappointment, and I know that Buffalo fans could have predicted that. I was just expecting more to guys like Farabee and Konechny. I don't know. I was looking at the team's roster, and on paper, I thought, all right, with the changes they made, with a bounce back season from Carter Hart,
I guess.
Can be a cup contender.
So optimistic.
Clearly,
it's just
clearly
like every
off target.
Of course, they can. Every team has a storyline like that. Every single team in the league has... Maybe their thesis was a bit more supportive, but it is still intensely optimistic. And I don't know that I agreed with you before the season started that their story was in the top 10 stories in the league. But I still don't agree with you now. And I'm right and you're wrong.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they've been mathematically eliminated from playoff contention, so clearly I was very wrong. I definitely expected them to be doing better than New Jersey, Chicago, Buffalo, Detroit, Anaheim, San Jose, the Islanders, the Blue Jackets, maybe better than the Canucks or the Jets, but I was not expecting the Philadelphia Flyers to be the fifth worst team in the NHL this season.
I honestly don't even really want to talk about them too much, but just like, I think overall the whole squad has been playing lacklusterly. All right, yo.
Yeah.
The Montreal Canadiens, last place overall. I guess they had a road trip down in Florida. They're playing against the Panthers recently. And instead of having a typical morning skate, the team went to the beach. I guess so.
Yeah, good times.
I guess.
Hey man, if you're gonna be golfing this summer, why not have a beach day as well? Yeah, and honestly, like with all the struggles that they've been through this season, and like Dominic Ducharme getting fired, and you know the GM getting fired, and everything, like they just need some team building. They need some relationship building in that organization. They need to build some chemistry with one another personally, I think. And obviously this season is not going to work out, so you don't need the morning skate. Let them go become friends a little bit.
Yeah,
you know,
they need
each other a bit more
to all take their shirts off and get wet and wrestle in the sun.
And
frolic
and wrestle
in the grass,
water, yeah.
It's called.
Yeah.
whatever Eugene Tolkien was talking about Melnick there. Died at 62. Who gives a fuck?
R.I.P.
Rest in peace. What?
I don't know if I should say this.
Yeah, yeah, of course. I think
it might be good. It is good for the organization.
Well, is he the problem, or is the general manager, Pierre Dorian, the problem? Or is it like a combination?
I think it's a combination, but as far as I'm aware, Eugene Melnick had very specific ideas and parameters about how the team should be operating for the last 5 years, like through their rebuild. And I just know that Pierre Dorian and the fans wanted to have a bit more freedom with, you know, free agency signings or trades or whatever. But Melnick was very much like, this is my plan and this is what we're going to do because I'm the owner.
Honestly, dude, I'm not really fazed about Eugene Melnick dying because it's all part of God's plan, you know? Dude, recently I've just been putting my faith in the Lord. Bro, I'm not sweating. Sweating the small stuff, man. It's all part of God's plan. Oh, and that voice Charlie just did was an impersonation of our Aunt Jan. Charlie.
The sweet baby Jesus.
That's our Aunt Jan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, let's go through a list of players that have had their best season while playing on the same line as Mitchell Marner.
Mm-hmm. Who's the first one?
James Van Riemsdyk got a career high in goals with 36 and points, 62. So that's 36 and 26. And the same year, Bozak had a career high in points with 55. And that was 2016, 2017. In 2018, 2019, Mitch Marner played with John Tavares and Zach Hyman. Tavares hit his career high in goals with 47 and points with 88, while Hyman had his first 20-goal season. In 2020 and 2021, and so far, 21-22, Marner started playing with Tavares, but once Mike Babcock was fired, he played with Austin Matthews and Zach Hyman and now Michael Bunting. Over this period, Matthews has scored at a 61 goal pace and a 103 point pace per 82 games played. While Zach Hyman and Michael Bunting both played at a 60 plus goal pace. So is Matthews or is Marner overpaid?
Probably not. Probably not. He's since January 1st, he has the most points in the NHL. I think over his last 10 games, he's averaging 2 points a game. Like, he plays on the penalty kill. He plays all over the ice. He's good defensively and offensively. He's got great chemistry with anybody, apparently, and he elevates everyone's game. So I want to say no, he's not overpaid. I think there's just a sour taste in people's mouths because of the way his contract was signed. The same thing with like William Nylander, you know. William Nylander is probably one of the best value contracts on the Leafs outside of Michael Bunting. And Jason
Spezza.
But people still give him hate. And Jason Spezza, you were right. Guess you could even say Jack Campbell. No, he's not overpaid though. Marner is definitely a top 10 forward in the league, potentially top 5, arguably top 5. So I think the $10.6 million cap hit for a player like that is reasonable.
Charlie, in his last 44 games, Austin Matthews has 42 goals. Oh, yeah, just give him the rocket. What about the heart?
Yeah, that one's tricky because McDavid is putting up a good conversation for it. However, you look at like the point totals in the NHL, McDavid is 98 or whatever, and Draisaitl is right behind him at 96 points. So I think that does weaken the argument for Connor McDavid a little bit. But then you have guys like Johnny Gaudreau with 90 points this season in 65 games, whatever it is. So I think Gaudreau is also up there in the conversation. However, Matthews, 49 goals and 85 points and 61 games played. He's going to have 7 games less than anybody else who is up for the Hart just because of injuries and suspension. So I think that will be taken into account. Like, he is putting up points very similar to Draisaitl And he has been doing that without Marner for a fair amount the season. So yeah, you know what? I think it's definitely a discussion. It's close though.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what'll pan out.
I'd say between McDavid, Matthews, and Goudreau. Dude, what about the Norse?
It seems like Roman Josi's kind of guaranteed it. He kind of ran away over the past couple weeks.
Yeah, yeah, he set up an assist record in a single season for the Predators. I think he might have set a point record in a single season, or he's about to set a point record for the Predators. He's in the top 10 point leaders in the NHL as a defenseman. And although Makar's very good, you know, he's got 24 goals on the season. It's just not at the same level that Josi's been at. I don't know much about their deep stats, and I'm sure that that's going to come into the conversation for the Norris, but it's definitely between one of the two, and Josi has the clear advantage
right now. Yeah, dude, I just want to read a quote that Pierre Dorion, he got really emotional when he was talking about Eugene Melnyk passing, just remembered him as a great man. He says, use the code PUCK at puckledges.ca for 20% off your entire order, or the code DAD for free shipping on single item orders. Dude, they got the cool, like, you just have to go to puckledges.ca. Like, the cost for about $20, guys. I can't stress this enough. Your dad will love you. Repair your broken relationship with your father by buying him a t-shirt. That's what Pierre Dorion said.
I heard it. I heard that too. I just kind of forgot about it. Can't believe it.
I can't stress how important it is that you need to go to puckledges.ca and check out these t-shirts.
Fuck yeah, that's
really nice. Dude, I'm about to cop the Mark Messier one. I'm finna place an order.
Mark Messier, Gordie Howe. The Le Cavalier one is nice as well.
Yeah, the Mark Messier on like the light blue. And then the Maurice Richard on a light purple. And then the Mario Lemieux probably in that bright yellow one is what I'm looking at. Maybe also this Nick Lidstrom in, like, I don't know, a light red they got. So we'll see.
Yeah. I know what you mean. How about Johnny Gaudreau and Elias Lindholm being plus 49 on the season?
Yeah, I guess that's probably pretty good. What's nuts, Taves? Devon Taves.
45. Who's in first, Gaudreau? Plus 45. Gaudreau and a Lindholm are tied for first, then Taves, Matthew Tkachuk, the other line mate of Lindholm and Gaudreau.
That's the best line in the league right now.
42, and then Kale McCarr and Ekblad are tied for fifth at plus 38. McCarr and Ekblad are tied, sorry. Yeah, that is definitely the best line in the NHL right now. The Mikko Rantanen, Landeskog, McKinnon line is up there, but McKinnon probably fucking broke his hand or something. So my fantasy season is over. I don't know why he went to go fight Matt Dumba. So what? He stood up, Mikko Rantanen at the line, man. You're
honest. Nathan McKinnon, yeah, not
Kyle Clifford.
Yeah. As a Colorado Bullet said.
I'm still just waiting for the news.
This was a good year for them. I don't know if Darcy Kemper's the guy, but yeah. Yeah, but you're telling me Darcy Kemper's going to beat Vasilevsky? Nah.
Yeah, is Colorado's offense better than Tampa's defense? Like,
Not without
Toronto. It's tricky. I'm really hoping that Toronto matches up with Boston in the first round, and that is hard for me to say, but I do not want to see Tampa Bay, Florida, or Carolina versus Toronto in round one.
Boston's a good team. I think they're missing their rock goaltender and Tuukka Rask from the past few years, and I think they'll notice that this playoffs. Yep. I also think they have depth. I think the Leafs' depth is better, so I would love to see. Every line on the Leafs is better than every line on Boston. Yep. And I can't say the same thing if the Leafs were going up against Florida, even with Willie on the third line.
I know what you mean.
Mm-hmm.
I 100% agree with you. And, like, yeah, the Leafs' depth looks good right now, and that's without Kasha. He's been injured for a little bit. You look at defense. Defense has been solid with Labushkin, Hall, and Liljegren playing the right side, but Muzzin and Sandin are still out and potentially coming back soon. So the Leafs' team, this is the deepest, strongest Leafs team that we've seen in recent memory And it's just scary to think that, you know, going up against Florida, Tampa, or Carolina, it's
I kind of agree with you. I think some of the lineups we had may have been more well-rounded with Freddie in net, just because he's got the pedigree. But
fair enough.
With Freddie in it, we had a certain expectation that this wasn't the guy to get over that hump. He was a great goaltender, yeah, but not
that is true.
The goaltender. And I just at this point, just give it another swing with another guy. You have the core locked up for a bunch of years. So you get at least four more swings, right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think about like Tampa, you know, they had Kucherov, Hedman, and Stamkos for years before they went to win their first cup with that roster. So I think if Toronto can just draft well, keep developing the way they are, and hold on to Matthews, Marner, and Nylander, then it doesn't matter if it takes another decade. I think they'll get there.
Riley is going to
that's a good call.
If he retires as a Leaf finishing that contract, I believe he will be the franchise leader in games played. It might not even be if he retires.
Yes.
I need more coffee. It might just be if he finishes that contract here.
Yeah.
All right, you got anything else, dude?
That does seem right. No, I've been...
All right, because Tommy got to go use the job, so I'm going to go end this recording. Peace, guys. Thanks for listening.
All right. Peace, guys. Easy.